Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Today we're going to get started. We are doing a series right now called Rooted and Grounded, and we're basing it out of Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, it's a prayer that Paul prays in 16 through 19. It's a prayer that Paul's praying for believers, for the churches that he's dealing with. And I think it's a prayer that still applies to us today. It's something that I think we can take and apply to our life, and that God wants to do some great things in us and through us because of this. And so let me just quickly read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. It'll be on the screens. If you need to read it with me, go ahead. Not out loud, that'd be weird. It says this, verse 16, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened. Everybody say strengthened. With power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, everybody say rooted. And grounded, say grounded. In love. May have, no, don't say that. So you get off and you start repeating everything I say, and it's like Simon says, you got to just chill out for a minute. Verse 18, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Today's message is called Rooted in Relationships. Rooted in Relationships. Why? Because it says there that you should be rooted in love. Last week we talked about being strengthened by the Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen you to live out your everyday life. He wants to strengthen you to overcome temptation. He wants to strengthen you to be a witness to other people. But there's another part here that Paul's saying, is that you've got to be rooted in what? In love, in relationships. In the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, we got the book of Genesis. And I don't have this on the screen for you. I'm just going to tell you about it. In the book of Genesis, we hear the story of Adam and Eve. Anybody ever heard the story of Adam and Eve before? Awesome. Yeah. Five of you guys have. So there's these two people named Adam and Eve, right? And they're like the first people on earth. God creates Adam and Eve, puts them in a perfect relationship. Perfect relationship. And in that perfect relationship, the Bible says that there comes a time when Satan comes in and begins to break up their relationship. He tempts them with sin. He tempts them with disobedience to God, and it works. And not only that, but then they begin to bicker and argue with each other, and their relationship suffers because of it. Then God comes in and He tells Adam, Eve, and Satan. He tells them a punishment and a blessing, except for Satan. He never got the blessing part. And He tells Adam, you know, hey man, you're going to have to work hard the rest of your life. You're going to work the ground. Not everything's going to come free for you. And so that's why, fellas, we got to work hard. And then He goes to Eve and He's like, you're going to have pain in childbirth, right? And so that's why, ladies, you have to have pain in childbirth. That's why we only ever hear about Eve having three kids. She's like, man, this hurts. Like, I was like, no pain, and now it hurts. I'm quitting. You know, I'm out. And so there's pain in childbirth. And He tells Satan, you know, you're going to have to eat the dust of the ground the rest of your life. But there's this promise in there where He tells Eve, He says, your seed will destroy the seed of Satan. In other words, Satan will reproduce. He will reproduce sin. He will reproduce himself. Satan will have power. But the Bible says, Eve, your seed will destroy his seed. Your seed will stomp on his head. Now that's important for you to understand, because what God's doing is He's giving Satan a warning that at some point these two people are going to come together. And when they come together in relationship, in intimacy, they are going to reproduce something that is going to destroy you. So from that point forward, Satan's goal has been to not only destroy seed, but to destroy relationships, because he knows that relationships produce seed. What is seed? Seed is potential. Seed is promise. Seed is salvation. Seed is freedom. And Satan knows, if I can break the relationship, then seed will never be produced. That's why divorce is so rampant today. Why? Because he knows if I can break the relationship, then there's no seed. That's why homosexuality is such a big deal. And let me tell you something. We believe in the Bible, and we love everybody, and we accept everybody into this church. We do. I don't care what kind of sin you have going on. You are accepted and loved in this place. But we don't agree with every sin that comes in. Just because we love the person doesn't mean we agree with the sin. And the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong. It says it in the Old Testament. It says it in the New Testament. So we still stand on that word. But it also says that being a drunk is wrong. It also says that lying is wrong, and being a gossip is wrong, and being a glutton is wrong. And we don't agree with any of those things either. And so I just want you to know that real quick. Because whenever a pastor says something about any of these topics, we start going, oh, here we go. The fact is, we love everybody. We just don't agree with everything, right? So here's the thing. The Bible says this. It says that he came in, homosexuality comes in. Why? Because you can have intimacy, you can have relationship, but without seed. You see what's happening? He wants to destroy seed. And then when seed is produced, the Bible says that he goes in and begins to kill people. Look at the story of Moses. Satan knew that a promise was coming. So what did he do? In the story of Moses, the Bible says that the Egyptians killed all of the babies of the Hebrews. The story of Jesus. At the time Jesus was born, Herod comes in, kills all the babies. Why? Because Satan knows he wants to destroy relationships and destroy seed. Look at today's world. How many millions of babies are being killed by abortion every day? Why? Because Satan knows he's got to destroy seed. Can I tell you something today? We've got to be rooted in relationships. The attack of the enemy is separation. The attack of the enemy is separation. And we've got to combat that with unity. We've got to combat that with relationships. And so I just want to look at a couple of things this morning that I think is important for you to hear when it comes to being rooted in relationships. The first thing I just want to talk to you about real quick, how many of you ever heard of a redwood tree? Anybody ever heard of redwood trees? You know, redwood trees can grow hundreds of feet tall. Like, redwood trees are taller than the Statue of Liberty. Like, redwood trees are huge. They can go 300 feet in the air. Like, that's massive, massive tree. But here's the interesting thing about redwood trees. Redwood trees' root system is extremely shallow. Redwood tree roots only go about 5 to 6 feet deep. They are very shallow, which makes them susceptible to any time a storm blows through, it could knock a redwood tree over. Even though it looks big and strong from the outside, underneath the ground, it's not that strong, and it can be knocked over. So how do redwoods be able to withstand the storms? I want to show you a quick picture real quick. This is redwood. This is redwood. Look at what their roots are doing. Redwood trees, although their roots only go down about 5 or 6 feet, they go out about 100 feet. And they become intertwined and fused with other redwood trees. Therefore, because there's this huge network of roots underneath the ground, anytime a storm comes, the redwood stays upright. Can I tell you something today? You and I need to be intertwined and rooted with each other in relationship and love. We talked last week about when the storms come, people fall away. Whenever you're intertwined with people, when storms come, they won't knock you over. We've got to have our root system going out and becoming intertwined with people. That's why we talk so much about small groups and relationship and party time. And why do we do all that stuff? We do it because we want to get people connected. So let me give you a couple of things that roots will do for you. Roots, number one, will give you strength. Roots will give you strength. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord, I can't speak today, is not quickly broken." What the writer is telling us here is he's saying, look, one dude may be able to fight somebody, but if you get two guys and three guys, you can't be defeated. What is he saying? He's saying whenever you're rooted in relationship, it gives you strength. We were on our way to school. My kids started school this week. Thank God they've been in the office with me for about a month, and it's been an experience. And so I finally got to take them to school this week. And whenever I'm on the way to school, we're here in this this commercial on the radio about bullying. And I told my kids, I said, what do you do when you see somebody getting bullied? Like, what is your plan if you see somebody getting bullied? And one of them was like, well, I tell a teacher. I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Tell a teacher. And my oldest son was like, I punch him in the face. I was like, no, no, simmer down, bully. You know, like, you're the one that's the problem. And so I said, what you need to do, you see somebody else getting bullied, yes, go tell a teacher. But then you go stand with that person that's being bullied. And you look that bully in the eye and you say, you leave him alone or leave her alone. I'm with this person. And you grab some of your friends and y'all go stand with them. Why? Because there's strength whenever we have numbers, when we get people together, when we're connected, we are strong. That's why it's so important. Whenever we first started the church, I wanted to pray. And I thought, man, we got to pray. Our church has to pray. And I heard of this other church that prays on Saturday mornings. I was like, man, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray on Saturday mornings. And so I told everybody, hey, we're praying every Saturday morning. Whatever time it was, we'll be at the church. We'll be praying. So I showed up and I prayed and nobody else showed up. And it was like me, like walking around the church, just praying. And I thought, you know what? This is awful. I got other stuff to do. And so I quit praying on Saturday mornings. Why? Because I was by myself and I wasn't doing very much. I could do that at home, right? And so I was all by myself. I was all alone. Nobody wanted to be with me. And I was sad and I was lonely. And I was praying and nothing was happening. And so then I decided, you know what? Later on, I thought, we got to change this up. We got to do something different. Maybe people can't come on Saturday mornings, but I've got to have prayer in this church. And I've got to have prayer with people. Like, it can't just be me. And so we said, Wednesday nights, we're not going to preach. We're not going to sing. We're going to just do prayer on Wednesday nights. And so we started our Wednesday night prayer service. And man, it is awesome. And we have seen things happen in our church because of Wednesday night prayer. Why? Because whenever you have numbers, you are stronger. You are more powerful when there's more people coming together and praying for one purpose. It's important that you learn to get together because you'll have strength. Number two, roots help you grow. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Everybody say blind spots. So a couple weeks ago, we did a leadership meeting, and I was talking to our leadership team, and I said, look, I got a friend of mine that has been in some other churches before, and she's going to come in as a secret shopper. Like, she's going to walk in, she's going to sit among the crowd, and she's not going to tell anybody who she is, and she's just going to look for blind spots in our church. And then she came back after 3 weeks, she came back, and she told us what she saw. And I said, I just want you to find these blind spots. And I use this example. I knew this guy one time, and he liked to shave his head with a razor, right? He shaved his head with a razor. And I saw him walk into the room one day, and it wasn't here, it was somewhere else. And when he walked into the room, he had like 3 hairs. And they were like this long, sticking off the back. He could have braided them. Like, they were long hairs sticking off the very back of his head. And as soon as I saw it, I laughed, of course, because I'm kind of mean in that way. And then I thought, man, that dude has nobody to tell him that he is missing the same spot for months, apparently, for those hairs to be that long. He is missing the same spot over and over. He has nobody to tell him about his blind spot. He's got a blind spot. Have you ever had a blind spot whenever you're driving, right? You're driving along, you look, and you go to pull over, and then they start honking their horn at you. Why? Because they were in your blind spot. That's that one place that you can't see. Even this morning when I was just kind of going over my notes, I'm thinking about what I'm doing, and I'm thinking about this story, I'm thinking about that guy, I'm kind of laughing to myself about his big 3 long hairs, and I go in the bathroom, I begin to brush my teeth, and I look, and what do I see? I see about 7 big old long hairs sticking off the back of my head. I was like, man, I don't have a razor or nothing, and nobody's here to help me. I wasn't about to let my son start cutting hairs off the back of my head with some scissors, so I grabbed some big old paper scissors, and I'm just like cutting hair. So there might still be some back there. It was like God, you know, knocking down my pride a little bit. It's important to understand that whenever you have relationships, when you're rooted in relationships, part of the reason you're rooted in relationships is not so everybody can tell you how great you are. Sometimes it's so people can tell you about the long hair sticking off the back of your head. They can tell you about the ugly spot that you've not noticed. Look at what Proverbs 27:6 says. It says, faithful are the words, are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. In other words, he's saying, It's great for your friend, some versions say, slapping you, right? It's great for some friend to come up and smack you and tell you what's going on, what the truth is, reality shock. And it says, but if you just want someone to give you kisses and tell you how great you are, that's really coming from an enemy. It's important for you to understand we need people in our life that are going to slap us and show us the reality of who we are and what we're missing. Psalm 141:5 says this, let a righteous man strike me. This is a prayer. Let a righteous man strike me. It is kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. It's important for you to see this morning that if you ever want to grow in your walk with God, you're going to need to be rooted in relationships. You're going to need to be rooted in love and have some people in your life that are going to tell you the truth. Have some people in your life that are going to show you the reality, show you the blind spots. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to help you grow. The third thing is, it will provide healing for you. We use this verse a lot here, but I really love it. It makes so much sense. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, the Bible says that if we confess our sins to God, He forgives us. But can I tell you something? Just because you're forgiven doesn't necessarily mean that you're healed of that issue. It's like taking if you get cut on the arm, let's say, and you take some alcohol and you pour that alcohol on that cut, it's going to hurt, right? You pour that alcohol on that cut, what happens? It is cleansed, but is it healed? No, it's still there. It's still open. And so what James is telling us here is he says, look, you need to find a place where you can get with somebody and you can say, look, you just showed me my blind spot. Now let me tell you what's going on. This is why. This is my issue. This is my problem. This is my sin. And let me show you what my issue is so that I can be healed. There's been times in my life where I tried to hold on to a sin. I don't know if you've ever tried that before. If you've ever tried to hold on to a sin. There's been times when I thought, man, if I just don't tell anybody, then this sin is just going to go away. If I just don't tell anybody, then nobody's going to know. And I used to use that old unspoken prayer request. Right? Can I just tell you, if you're ever in a prayer meeting and you say, I've got an unspoken prayer request, everybody knows it's for you. Right? They all think you're messed up, like at that point. So if you're going to say that, if it's not for you, you better clarify. I got a prayer request for a friend of mine. Yeah, well, that even looks bad too. So I know this guy who needs some prayer about. It's important for you to get with people that you can really show them what's going on in your life. Why? Because that's where you find healing. That's where you find healing is in those relationships where they can walk you through some of that stuff. I want to give you a couple of things real quick and then we're going to close actually. A couple of practical steps that I think we can all take if you want to be rooted in relationships. I've talked to people before and they've said, Pastor, I just don't feel like I belong in my church. I just don't feel like anybody knows me at my church. I don't feel like anybody likes me at my church. And I say, well, where are you rooted? Like, who are the relationships that you have? And they're like, well, I want to be in a relationship with you. And I'm like, that's great. You can be in a relationship with me, but it's hard because I've got to be in a relationship with everybody. Where are your other relationships? Where are the other places you've been putting down your roots? And so I got three things that I think, three steps we can take here. Number one, we need to learn to plug into the church, plug into the life of the church. I think too many people think they get this mindset that if I just attend a church, that all of a sudden I'm going to just develop relationships. That's not exactly how that works. I think we need to learn to plug into and connect with the life of the church. What is it that this church really wants to do? And what is it that I can do to be a part of that? What is it that God's doing in this place? And what can I do to be a part of that? Even if it's not here at this church, maybe you go to another church normally, plug into the life of that church. Get involved in what they do. I think it's so fun. Like, I was talking to Sean and Carrie last night, and I was just telling them, you know, it's so crazy. Like, Sean and Carrie, when we first moved in over here, didn't really, you know, just playing the drums, doing his thing, working at Chick-fil-A, doing a great job. And then all of a sudden, one day, like, Pastor John was like, hey, I need somebody, we need a bass player or something. And Sean was like, I think I know a guy. So he goes off and invites Harrison. And then Harrison, of course, brings Aaron with him. And so Harrison and Aaron start coming. And then they're like, hey, I think we know somebody else that could help us out. So they invite Philip and then Sabrina. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, Frank and Leah start showing up. And then all of a sudden, we start getting this whole crew. Why? Because one couple decided they want to plug into the life of the church, and they love the church, and they say, you know what? We're not going to just sit on a pew anymore. We're not going to just play the drums anymore. We're going to do something to get ourselves into the life of this church. What does this church want to do? This church wants to reach people. So how can we reach people? We'll just invite our friends. And then all of a sudden, this whole section is related to Chick-fil-A. Somehow. And I was talking to Sean last night, and I said, you know what's crazy? I said, I think you guys, I love your attitude, because it's like you view it as a game. Like, I think they do. It's like, who can we invite this week? And how many points do we get if they show up? You know, it's like, Sean and Carrie see somebody come in, like, take that one, you know. And they're high-fiving themselves, high-fiving each other. And then it becomes a game, who can invite who? You know, and then, so I go into Chick-fil-A the other day, and it's hard now. And every time I go into Chick-fil-A, it's like, I'm trying to figure out who in here goes to my church. Probably all of them. And I don't know, you know, have I seen that person, you know? And I go in, and I go to check out, and I'm walking up to this guy, and Will's there. He's like, no, he's mine. And I was like, oh, man, I'm in trouble. So I walk over, and Will's like, this guy's my pastor, y'all. He's my pastor. He goes to my church. And it was awesome. Why? Because somebody, one person, two people decided we're going to plug into the life of our church. We're not going to just be attenders. We're going to be members. We're going to do something. Think about this. The United States of America used to be the greatest country on earth. And I still think to some degree we are. But there was a time when we were the top producers in the world. We produced everything. You want clothes? We got the best clothes. You want cars? We've got the best cars. You want food? We've got the best food. And then one day, we begin to make this shift from producers to consumers. And all of a sudden, we stopped producing things and we started outsourcing things and buying things from other countries. And guess what happened? Our national debt began to increase. Why? Because we became a nation of consumers. And that same attitude sometimes gets in us as church people. And we want to go to church and consume everything the church gives us without ever producing anything on our own. I'm not down on you for that. That can happen to the pastor too. Sometimes pastors just want to get up and get a paycheck and get done with their sermon and get off the stage. We've got to learn to be producers, right? Get involved, get plugged into the life of your church. The second thing is, you've got to join a group. You've got to join a group. Get in a group. Here we call them small groups. I don't know what they call them at your church. They may call them life groups. They may call them community groups. They may call them connect groups. But you've got to get plugged into a group. Why? Because it was the model that Jesus laid out for us. Jesus was constantly having these big meetings with lots of people, and then he would give them this little story that nobody really understood, and he would go off and he'd say, all right, service is over. Boys, let's go get in the boat. And him and his disciples, just 12 of them, would go get in a boat, and they would sail out, the Bible says, to deep waters. Sometimes they would go up on mountaintops. Jesus was constantly moving from the big group to the small group. And here's what happened. Every time he went out in the small group, the disciples had the opportunity to say, we heard you say this in the big church meeting, but what exactly does that mean? And they begin to discuss. Why? Because that's where you go deep. In here, I'll talk about a lot of things. I'll preach to something. I want to preach a message that will affect everybody, if at all possible. But you don't get the chance to raise your hand and ask questions in here. But whenever you break off into that smaller group, then you can go out to deep waters. And that's where all of a sudden you can begin to discuss, what did he mean when he said this? What does it mean whenever the Bible says that? how can my life really be changed? Pastor said that I got to get rooted in relationships and I'm going to have strength. What does that mean? Help me, small group. And you get into a small group and that's where life begins to change for you. Perry and I thought that we could do okay just doing church and being involved with the big group. And then one day we found a small group. And it was a small group of people outside of the church that we didn't even know. And we just thought we got to try something. And so we went and we tried this small group from outside of the church. And it was these pastors from all different churches. And there was only about 6 or 8 of us in this group. And we would sit down together and we'd begin to discuss. We'd begin to talk. And we found a place that we could just open up our lives and say, look, here's our problems. Here's our issues. Here's our struggle. Here's our pain. And we had people that could help us and walk us through it. We were able to go deeper, not just in the Word, but deeper into our own hearts than we had ever been because we were in a small group where we felt safe. In the big group, you can't do that. In the small group is where you get out to deep waters. And some of you may say, yeah, but Pastor, my small group just hangs out. Right? My small group just hangs out. These guys over at the Crockers are doing a small group this semester and they're just hanging out. It's just a fellowship group. Or my small group is very specific to doing something, right? The Torberts are doing a small group training people specifically to do children's ministry. It doesn't matter what the small group is. The point is that I'm getting rooted in a relationship where I can find safety, where I can be able to open myself up, where I can find healing. So it doesn't matter what the small group. It doesn't have to be like some deep, you know, curriculum. No, it can just be who can I hang out with? How can I build relationships? And then from that point, can I go deeper? The third thing I think you need to do is I think you need to serve with a team. Serve with a team. I believe we find fulfillment when we're serving with a team. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The term there, good works, is speaking of the word good is not just, in this context, it's not just saying, oh, this is a decent thing to do. No. It is a God-ordained and empowered work. The word work there means something that is inside of you already to do. You're just not doing it yet. And so what Paul's saying here is he's saying, hey, listen, you are His workmanship. You were created in Christ Jesus. Why? So that you could do some God-ordained and empowered things that are already inside of you to do. In other words, there is potential inside of each and every one of you that God has put in you, and it lies dormant until we allow God to wake that thing up. And you may say, but Pastor, all I'm good at is just greeting at the door. Then greet at the door with everything you've got. I loved it today. I was walking into service, and Adam Crocker was greeting at the door. And as soon as I was walking up towards the door, at first I didn't see anybody at the door, and I was like, man, someone needs to get at the door. And then I looked out in the parking lot, and Miss Mary is pulling up. Someone's driving her up to the church, and she can't get out and walk all the way up to the door. They didn't pull her up to the door. So Adam's out there opening up her door, holding her hand, walking her into the service. And you may think, well, that's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. Now, I know Miss Mary, she's more saved than the rest of us. So, you know, she probably doesn't need to get saved again. But what if somebody came in that had did not know Jesus Christ? What if somebody came in and they've been burned by their last church? They've been hurt by the last place they were at. And somebody was willing to open up a door. Somebody was willing to hold them by the hand. Somebody was willing to walk them in. The Bible says that the kindness of the Lord leads people to repentance. You want to see life change? Serve with a team. Serve with a team. If you just sit in a chair every Sunday morning, that's great. I mean, I hope that God's doing some great things in you. But aren't you ready to let God do some great things through you? I mean, I don't want to just be filled up over and over. If I get filled up over and over, then I just overflow. I become stagnant. But if I get poured out and then filled up and poured out, and then filled up, then I'm fulfilling the purpose that God has put inside of me. Today I want to just end and close this out with the last verse. I believe we need to, the Bible says that in Ephesians, If you don't mind, put Ephesians chapter 3 back up there, verse 19. And it says that He wants us to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. I want to be filled with everything that God's got for me. I want God to fill me up with what? Last week I talked about being filled with His strength, with His power. Today I want to be filled with His love. And as I'm filled with His love, how does that happen? It happens as I'm rooted in relationships. I can experience God's love in a real, tangible way. Romans 5, verse 8. It says, but God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Today I believe that the most important relationship you can become rooted in is your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to be filled with all the fullness of God's love, then you need to accept Jesus Christ into your life today. You need to follow Jesus today. And I believe as we do that, that He will fill us up with His love. He will root us in relationships. And we're going to find fulfillment. Would you stand up with me this morning? If you don't mind closing your eyes this morning, I just want to pray with you. Holy Spirit, we just ask You right now to begin to speak to our hearts. God, I pray that You would do a work in our lives. God, as we need You, God, we come into this place desperate for You. God, we understand that we can't live this life without You. We've got to have You not visiting, but living in us, dwelling in us. We want to follow You because You lead us to life. So God, right now I just ask You to speak to each and every heart. Will work in our lives today. If you feel like God is showing you this morning that you need that relationship with Jesus Christ, if you feel like God's showing you that today, then I want you just to slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. But if you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you've done it before and you just kind of stepped away from that relationship, you've decided to kind of follow your own path, then you need to give your heart back to Him. Commit yourself to Him today. If that's you, just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. I just want to know who to pray for today. Okay. Why don't you repeat this prayer with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I give You my life. I choose today to follow You and create room in my life for You to dwell. I give You all that I am and all that I will be. I'll lay my life down at Your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.